Okay, let's start from, I just want to finish up the halachos, then we'll go back and we'll do a lot of she'arim b'sanim halacha. Let's start from halacha zayin. Okay, so halacha zayin is on page nun aleph. It's good to get some a flavor of the halachas before we see the she'arim b'sanim halachas. A lot of things are cross-referenced. Let's have a look at Zayin. Mi sheyesh page nun aleph. Mi sheyesh lo sodeh rechaim. Mutu la haskidim lein Yehudi. V'yavu pishon Yehudi yoseh bochem Allah b'Shabbos. We did this before. So we just started this with the taxes. Just a little bit of review. But we'll review this. Page nun aleph. Mi sheyesh lo sodeh rechaim. Mutu la haskidim lein Yehudi. V'yavu pishon Yehudi yoseh bochem Allah b'Shabbos. A rechaim, a mill or a field, you're allowed to rent to a non-Jew, even though the non-Jew is working them on Shabbos. Once you rent it to him, people do not know, the main idea is people do not know that, they're not aware that it belongs to the Jew. So there doesn't appear to be any zilabe mil sa'avul merchatz or sola haskilo, a bathhouse is also, because the bathhouse, it's well known that the bathhouse belongs to the Jew, it's owned by the Jew, and people walk into the bathhouse, people walk in, they pass by, they see that it's an operation, they're going to say that a Jew is doing melacha, it's going to be a zilzul in the Kedusha of Shabbos. So bathhouse is also. But But let's say the bathhouse is really owned by a non-Jew, and the Jew has leased it, and now the Jew is subleasing to a guy, so then the name of the Jew is not really associated with this bathhouse, then it's mutter. Next, anyone that is a tax collector, and here he has some word which I don't know what this means, different expressions. If you're collecting taxes, on Shabbos, people are going to assume, is there going to be chil Shabbos, a zilzul Shabbos, when people think that the one that's getting the money is going to be a Jew. Halachas. The base of Shall Yisrael also lahaniach lein Yehudi yashiasim malacha. In the home of a Jew, it is forbidden to allow a non-Jew to malacha. B'shum oifin under any situation. Be'afilu mishareis any Yehudi shereitz alasas malacha b'shvil atzmo tzrichim limchayspo it's forbidden. So this is a very big chumrah that you're not allowed to let a non-Jew do malacha in your home on Shabbos, even if the non-Jew is doing malacha for their own private benefit, because of the ikar yisoid zila be'milsa. When you see in your own private house chil yom techil Shabbos, and it makes an impression upon you, it takes away from the kedusha of the day. Halacha test. Uman any Yehudi shasam malbush b'shul Yisrael v'yaviyah loy b'Shabbos muter l'lovshay. If a non-Jew makes a garment for a Jew and he brings it, he delivers it on Shabbos, you're allowed to wear it on Shabbos, because as long as you don't know, you're assuming that it was not done. You have a right to assume it was not done on Shabbos. You did not tell him to do it on Shabbos, and if he did not have to be done by Shabbos, so we have a right to assume that it was not done on Shabbos. V'im yodua shagamer b'Shabbos, but if you know for a fact that it was finished on Shabbos, even though you did not tell him to do it on Shabbos, ein l'lov shoy kiyim l'tzarech gadol, it's not proper unless you really need it. Avol also likach kelim umalbushim mibeis umin. You're not allowed to go and take clothing from a non-Jewish store. That's not proper. It's not proper. It appears to be mekachom memkar. If you go, let's say you have a friend that has a business, and you need something, you need a suit. And your suit got ruined on Shabbos, so you want him to open up his store for you on Shabbos in order to take clothing, and you'll pay him after Shabbos. That appears to mekach memkar, and that is aser. Avol aser likach kelim ulboshim mibeis umin. Afilu umin yisrael b'Shabbos v'yamtov ve'ein yehud yisheinu umin. However, a non-Jew that is not an umin, ela sheyesh lo chanus, he has a store shemoichem in olim chodaymer, mutar liyisrael hamakiroi likach menu b'Shabbos. Ulin olam, uvil vaj lo yiktsois imo debe ha mekach. So what you're doing, Mekhel Memkar, from a guy, if you want to go into the non-Jew store and to put on a pair of shoes and to walk out with a pair of shoes, and you'll pay him for the shoes after Shabbos, that's understood, but you're not going to stipulate the price on Shabbos itself, that is mutter. The gamlo yu devarim shehuvu michutz l'tchum. Another condition is that the shoes that you're walking out of the store with on Shabbos may not have come from chutz l'tchum, because every single object when Shabbos begins gets its own tchum. So even if these shoes were not yet in the store when Shabbos began, these shoes were outside the tchum and they were first delivered to the store on Shabbos, and you put on the shoes and you walk home, you're walking with shoes which only are allowed to move not more than Dalit Amos. So that would be forbidden. So as long as that's not a problem, then in this situation, if a person needs clothing or shoes or the like, you're allowed to walk into a non-Jewish store, put on the clothing, as long as you do not stipulate any prices on Shabbos, so there's no violation of a davar davar, then it is mutter. But to do this, well, you have no. It's obviously it's for it's a need. It's a tzarech. And there is a problem marasayim, but since up here, obviously the person needs it. So there are different variations or different situations. Sometimes it's a. Okay, I don't. There.
You have the same problem on Yom Tov, because Yom Tov you can even go to Jewish store if you have to do it in a way, but it's obviously got to be stuff that was.
You have the tchum and Yom Tov. There's no difference tchum in Shabbos and Yom Tov. They have a lot of stories with people going into the pharmacy on Shabbos to get medicine. So there used to be, I remember on Avenue J, and they closed down Duane Reed. There used to be Silverrod. So there was once, it happens more often than not. And it happens, people go into the store and they need medicine, and they would let the religious people take the medicine. And then what happened was, people took advantage, and they never paid. They got very, very angry, and they stopped it. They stopped it, and then they used to make announcements. I remember they were making announcements in shul that anyone that owes them money should make sure you pay the money, because they're not giving any medicine out on Shabbos, and it's some people it's a sakana, it's a very chil Hashem, and there were different people that got involved. There were some community askonim that got involved in. In creating some type of system. What?
Dwayne Reed,
yeah, it's on my juice, but it's not a franchise.
No, it's now Walgreens bought it.
Walgreens.
This week, they had a problem. The Motzei Shabbos bus from the place was always.
They stopped. You paid it afterwards.
Yeah, but
why?
Didn't pay.
That's why.
So
they didn't pay. They stopped
people
it.
People said, "What? You mean I had to pay for it?"
No, I don't know that. I read the article. So I haven't been Eretz Yisrael in years, but I vaguely remember in the back of my mind. This goes back many, many years ago. That's right. It was a free service. Was that true?
No.
It was never ever free.
They never asked you for the money, but it wasn't free.
In the back of my mind, I remember that Mitzoy Shabbos.
They used to have buses, trucks, special with water and everything. That was someone donated. Sat on the truck, donated money.
But in the back of my mind, I remember years ago that it was a free. It was a free service. Mitzvah Shabbos at the Kosel. Again, the bus paid for it. It's a service. It's
a community. The driver says, "Okay, you don't have to pay."
Yeah.
Is you Michael? You have no right to be Michael.
Well, that's good. What authority does a bus driver have? Right. Yeah, I've over here in the city very often. I don't use the bus, whenever the machines didn't work, they took one of the transfers, they stuck it in the machine. Free. Come on the bus. So is the bus driver? Do I have to come the next time I go on the bus and put in the car twice?
Gezel Akum is different.
What?
It's
no, because the company.
Well, the driver has the authority. I think you have a right to assume that in unusual circumstances,
the
buses have to run. There have to be enough buses. You don't want there to be backup, and they have authority to let you on the bus for free. I remember not so long ago I went to this rally. They had this rally, this tefillah rally. So on the way back, there were crowds trying to get into the train stations. I was right there. So the police, he opened up the gates, and he said, just go free.
That was a Seva Shas. We came back from Seva
Shas. Also, they just opened up the gates. Does the police have the authority to do this? I assume they do. You have rights. When I read that article, I thought about, I remember years ago, maybe they lied to me. They write there in the article that it was assumed that after Shabbos is over, the next day you pay for it. Okay, if that's the way, those are the rules. I wasn't aware of that. I am not a resident there. I don't know what goes on there. I don't know.
Now, this week, the Israeli government allocated 100 million shekel for Shemitah.
Yeah.
So there are two questions. One, are they going to recognize that the Zionists gave the money for Shemitah?
Yeah.
Number two, who's going to steal the money?
Who's going to steal the money? The money they'll take. That I don't have to worry about. Someone will take the money. Let's go further. Okay, we have here a rule that walking.
The store owner also. They don't. I remember when I was a kid, we lived in Crown Heights, and one yomtiv, maybe even Shavuos, my mother ran out of cheese or whatever, and we davened together with the storekeeper.
Right, you go into the store.
So we told them. You open the store.
Right.
Said it, go in and
take whatever you need, and after Shabbos. So there's exactly what.
Shabbos. It was understood.
For free.
No.
It's assumed you're going to pay. Of course you're going to pay after Shabbos. Okay, but that's in a store. We're talking, okay, I don't know. Let's go further. Kelim halachim, kelim shoysim b'chem halacha, goyim mar machareisha, chuyetzba, also lahaskiv leni hudi b'erev Shabbos, utensil, which is going to use some halacha, you're not allowed to rent to a goyim of Shabbos, havapish ein anu mitzuvah al shvitzas kelim, even though we are not mitzuvah al shvitzas kelim, the kelim are allowed to be in use over Shabbos. What's the problem? Kei b'chom hakom, kei v'en shehu noitel sochar, v'hiskivay erev Shabbos, since you are receiving wages for renting it, nechse ki ilu ha'ein yehudi hu shlucho, it appears to be as if the any who is your agent. Since you're taking money from the guy for renting him these utensils, it appears the guy is doing malach on your behalf, and it looks like Amiru Liakum. When is it also? It's also to do on Erev Shabbos. It's also to do this Erev Shabbos, because then it appears there's a direct connection between when the instructions are given and to when the malach is being done. But if this is done way in advance on Thursday, period. You're allowed to lend, because then it does not appear that you're telling the guy to do malach with your kelim on Shabbos, because you rented him the kelim on Thursday, and Thursday already is separated by Friday, so it takes away from the problem of what appears to be amiru la'akam. Ulahashilo mutter, afilu b'erev Shabbos, but if you're not taking money, you're not taking money from the guy, you're lending him the kelim, then it's mutter, if he even erev Shabbos, afilu kelim shoysim ha'malacha, uvavach shichim when provided that he takes it out of your possession. He does not come take it from your house on Shabbos, because if he takes it from your house on Shabbos, then it appears like he's doing, it appears like you've told him to do malach on your behalf on Shabbos. But if he already has removed the kelim from your house before Shabbos, and he's not taking, you're not taking from him money, it does not appear that you're telling him to do anything. But when he's giving you money, then it seems it has more of the tzur that you're telling him to do malach with the kelim on your behalf on Shabbos. Even if it's not totally for free, even if there's understanding there's going to be some bartering, I'm going to lend you my kelim in exchange for you lending me your kelim, that's mutter, as long as you're not taking money. That's one step removed from actual schiris, and at least it's good enough that it takes away from the mare sign of Bamir Liakam. If you want to rent to a non-Jew kelim which malacha is not, and you want to rent to him chairs or a table, and he's coming to pick up the chairs or table at Erev Shabbos, that is mutter, because there's no Amiru Liakam. He's not doing malacha. He's just sitting on the chairs using the table. There's nothing wrong. Shein Yehudi might see him provide, of course, that the guy takes the kelim out of the home before Shabbos, because he takes the kelim out of the home on Shabbos. That's also a malacha deraisa, or can border malacha deraisa of Hayitza and Hachnasa. Halacha Yud Aleph. Had mutter lahaski kelim leni Yehudi be'afanav haniskarin. This is mutter to go to rent kelim on for the malacha on Thursday, or if it's not malacha Erev Shabbos, or if you, even malacha you're allowed to lend, not to rent. Dafka k'she'en Yehudi k'she'en noytel soch schar Shabbos bifnei atzma. Even a situation when it's mutter, for example on Thursday, when you're not actually, it's not in the contract that you're going to pay me for Saturday, you're going to pay me $100. Ella behavla. It's only mutter when it's for a week, for 1 week, I'm going to charge you $100. Kigoin shemaskir l'chodesh for a month or l'shavua v'yomelo ba'ad kol hashavua or ba'ad kol hachodesh tidin likach v'kach afilu ba'ad kol shnei yamim or for 2 days or kol shlosh yamim. In that case, you're not actually taking money specifically for Shabbos. Avol schar Shabbos b'fnei atzmo otor liten afilu hischir lo l'shana. But to take schar Shabbos, to take money for Shabbos, this is not only, we're not really discussing that so much. We're discussing a separate Isra, the Isra the Rabban of Schar Shabbos. You're not allowed to receive money for work on Shabbos. It violates the Daber Davar and violates Mimotzi chefsecha v'daber daber. Pasuk in Yeshaya that you're not allowed to do things, engage in business transactions on Shabbos. But it's only when it's explicit for Shabbos. But if it's for a prolonged period of time, then it's mutar. Ava afilu hiskelo hilshana v'choshven yamim nifradim. But if you go and you want to specify specific days, then it's also even if you rent for 1 year and every single day of the year is specified. Shaymer ani maskelcha l'shana or l'chodesh uve'ad kol yom. Even though he pays one lump sum, it doesn't make a difference. Also, little schar hamagia lishabosos. Kevin sinshem achashvin yomim nifrodim. You are specifying specific days. The also little schar Shabbos shaloi behavlo, and it's forbidden under any circumstance to take schar Shabbos if it's not in one lump sum payment. Afilu baad kelov shein osim melacha. Even for kelim which do not do malacha, a chair or a table, v'afilu ba'at cheder lo durbo, even to rent a space to live in, the also schar Shabbos who bein me'ene Yehudi bein me'Yisrael schar Shabbos also from a Jew and from a non-Jew. Okay, classic example schar Shabbos is to pay a bal korei, right? What's the problem paying a bal korei? What does he do? What does the bal korei do? A bal korei, he's laying on Shabbos. So when are you paying him? You're paying him for the preparation erev Shabbos. Some say that it's for a dvar mitzvah. It's such a head to this. A dvar mitzvah, then the prohibition of schar Shabbos does not apply. Schar Shabbos is takana d'rabbanan. Okay, we'll see. Yeah, some of the things he covers in the she'anim mitzvah. Let's now go back and go over.
Same thing.
It's all for the preparation. You're paying b'havo, you're paying for all the work, the preparation they do before Shabbos.
Some of them don't.
So you got a problem. That's right. It is a problem. What?
Well, the
Valkyrie
doesn't look over the lady.
Let's say the Valkyrie. I once asked.
I once asked
an expert Balkari. I was horrified what he told me. He never makes a mistake. He's a genius. He's just a genius. I asked him, when do you prepare? He says, Ben Gavra Le Gavra. And he said, he's serious. He's
for Kayana.
For Kayana, Monday, Thursday. That he knows.
That he knows. Most of all the time you prepared them for him.
That's how I made myself feel better. How long
is
it? 15 minutes plus 40 years experience.
Yeah. I don't know. He was the same Bal Kari told me that he gives bar mitzvah lessons. So and he's a sefer. He wrote a Megillah. He showed me. We took him a course in Safras. So he wrote it. He finished the Megillah. So I asked him, when did you write the Megillah? He says, I give bar mitzvah lessons, and while I'm reviewing with the bar mitzvah boy, I wrote the whole Megillah. Genius. He teaches him, and the boy reviews. He listens to him, and while he's writing, unbelievable. Iluyim. Okay, let's go back and let's do some of these she'arim in Sinema Halacha. Okay, there's a lot of interesting stuff here. Okay, let's start from.
So you can't rent out a room. What kelim are in a room?
You have to do behavlo. Something must be done before or after Shabbos in order for there to be behavlo. That's what he says. To give money just for Shabbos is forbidden. Let's take a look. Let's see. Let's start from page Memtes.
So if a guest is coming for Shabbos, they can bring you a bottle of wine.
What? That's not schar Shabbos.
What is it?
That's a gift. That's not business. That's a gift. A matana. There's no prohibition
of
giving
a gift. Just for renting a room.
When you pay the hotel,
you pay before and after.
That's not it.
You're paying before and after. Let's take a look. Let's see halach. Let's start from page Memtes halachavav. Avol avodas abinyan tam. Okay, we're going to start from here. We learned here that you're not allowed to engage a contract to do malach even a non-Jew. Before we go up to the Schar Shabbos, we're discussing, going back and discussing Amir La'akum. If you have a contractor, you must stipulate that malacha may not be done on Saturday. Here's the yisoid. Because of maris ayin, even though everything on page mem tes. I'm going back to page mem tes. Halacha vav. Okay, we're going all the way back. There's a lot of stuff too. Okay, so we have over here, we have a situation where you have a contractor. And the contractor, everything is good. Everything appears to be okay. Kotsatz. I'm paying you for the project. I'm paying you $30,000 to build, to make a bathroom, whatever the situation is. To make a new kitchen. And there's no time limit. You can do it whenever you want. You can do it. It doesn't have to be finished at any specific point in time. You can take off a Saturday, and he chooses for his own benefit to do the malacha on Shabbos. So that is forbidden. Why? I'm not telling him, there's no Amir Liakum. I'm not telling him to do the malacha on Shabbos. The answer is, since this is something that involves real estate, it's Dovah Bifar Hesya. And that's the farhesia, there is an issue of maris ayin. If this is, you have a city contractor. Okay, the contractors are only approved. You're limited who you can hire. Sometimes when it comes to, not anymore, but usually when it comes to putting in a boiler, comes to putting in certain types of equipment, the only ones that are allowed, qualified, that are licensed to do these things are people that work for the city. There are no private contractors. And it's a government contractor. And a government contractor, everyone knows that you're not the one that's involved you're not doing it. There, there's no Maris Ayin. So then he says,
what he means is, just as if it's by Kabbalah, if the normal way of hiring a contractor is became
the minigui rise. I'm trying to explain. It's something which everyone knows. There is no maris because everyone knows that this type of construction is under kablonis. Os ein chash lamaris hoayin. V'afilu achilo yrotzo hanavi hudu lahatish on b'shabbes el b'chol hamoid. He still, in all, even though it's mutter, he still was machmir. He did not zilzul Shabbos, only chol hamoid. Uvit serif shushas hatchak gadol. V'chein kaz apiskedinim mi tzemach tzedek hachadoshes ayin sham. Okay, Lubavitch. Same thing. He said over there, the only could do, even he didn't want to be mat even on Shabbos, only b'shasat chagodol, and he only went so far to be mat here on chol hamoid. The ayin, the ber hetif, shehevi mehabagin avram, the shachronim, the gam b'shel rabim d'loy shach chashadur marasayin. Let's say it's not privately owned; it's owned by a shul, it's owned by a community. So then there's no marasayin. Afilu wachi osur mishum chilul hashem. Why the umos einam manichem l'shum adam lasos malachah b'yom hashabiyom b'yom chagom v'im naniach anachnu lasos ikel chil Hashem. It's a whole new time, a fascinating concept. When it comes to Memorial Day, the goyim are not working. Okay, when it comes to Christmas, they're not working. Comes to New Year's, they're not working. So why is our holy day, our Shabbos, less choshev than their holy day? So therefore, it is a chilul Hashem. V'ayin b'shut kesav sofer. V'ayin b'shut. I don't know what that is. Anyone know what that is? V'shut chesel yavram. The ein shum hetu levnos b'shabbos. I feel like they star mechira. No hetu whatsoever. Zilzul chilul Hashem. V'ayin b'shut marsham. Nami b'mishem meparnis mi b'minyonei batim b'ir shekoyin hamokam abon abayis v'choyzei mochvar abinyin hu b'kabalonis. This is your parnasa. The way you make parnasa is you buy property or you buy real estate and you fix it up and you resell it. So it's my parnasa and everything's b'kabalonis. Im umen v'loynoda klal im hamokam hu shalishol the woman toila al amoid govoya tavla al shemo, and the woman he hangs up
his name.
And he's the one who hires the work. You have a contractor, and no one knows what's going on behind the scenes. No one knows who's really the owner. The only thing is that when they run out of money, they need funding, they come back to the Jew. Who knows? He gives them the money. The worker does not want to rest on Shabbos. So what do you do in this situation? In this situation, it's mamish. No one, it's the biggest secret. No one has any clue that this real estate is owned by a Jew. Nevertheless, kosh sozdir kosh savshama marsham lahatir. He holds a stakamutter, but he still needs to make a shtar mechira. Now, what's a shtar mechira? The shiyas the shtar mechira limkar hamokim leumen. You have to sell the mokum to the human. You have to sell. In other words, you have to, just like you sell the chametz to the guy, so too you have to sell the real estate to the contractor, so it should not be called yours. This is a shtar mechira. You have to go to a qualified rav who has the documents and knows how to actually fill them out. Techahai gavna leka chasha the klal came the loy nikra shem yisrael lo ala mokaim. So that's why in this situation the combination of the motif of pi harayv leka bebinyanim keilu maris ayin al kain ein lahachmir ayin shem. So that's what he says. That's the header. Zayin b'shas atcha gadol, unless it's shas atcha gadol, then you're allowed to let the guy work on Shabbos. Ayin mashmarsh miram shik the ear acha shohayu sreifa vayehudim sechufim umidaldalim belidira. They were homeless. Okay, they were in the streets. Vimei hakor, and it was winter time. Mishamshimim mimashmishim. Uvein heter sham livnos b'shabes b'kablonis. Mashim above, they were going back and forth. They were going back. They had nowhere to go. They would nowhere. So what hit their sham livnos b'shabes b'kablonis? He was mati. That's a shas gadol. V'abam malach umin yishalim lapoilim v'chol malach alav ayin sham. So that's of course a shas atchak. When people are homeless, he can't be greater shas atchak than that. V'ayin be noib b'yehuda kama huva b'sharit shuva shelo rotzel hatir gam b'shas atchak rak b'chol hamoid even ayin sham. Okay. Okay, so this is even worse. Building a makom, a davar makom of kada, holy place, that's much, much worse. Ki yesh chilul Hashem b'ze, ki mashakos amogin Avram, v'chein kos v'shal shuvas tivrei chayim. Okay, very fasting. The item, it was always made an impression upon me that I once, you know, I'm fasting with construction. Every time I pass a construction site, I can't hold back from peeking inside and seeing what's going on. I actually love the smell.
Really?
I love the smell of a construction site.
Of dust?
No, not dust. There's certain, you go in Manhattan, you walk in this big building, there's a certain smell of construction site. I get intoxicated. So, okay, I once passed by a shul. We were building a new shul. And I always noticed it was the same guy. This one guy was doing all of the heavy labor, putting up all the steel beams. All right, pass by. Then after they finished the shul, the guy was there. And this guy looked like a guy. He looked 100% non-Jewish. So he saw that I was always eyeing him. So he came over and he started talking to me. And he said to me, you know, I'm proud of this building. You know why I'm proud? Because I'm Jewish. I'm Jewish, and he said to me, I've put down every... No, he never worked on Shabbos. He didn't do it on Shabbos. Of course not. And he says, I have laid every beam in this building. And I know that this is a synagogue, and I'm proud that I had a part in this. It made an impression upon me. It made an impression upon me that this shul was built, all of the steel work was laid, was prepared by a religious person. It's not so pashut. Okay. Av l'avoidas... Next, Ayin b'shut shalomeshiv. Cause of gamkin sheyesh lahachmer rak shutoli l'thi reois ene hadayin. Generally, one should be machmer, not allowed to go to melacha for a shul on Shabbos, but it depends. There are exceptions. Kishayavin shalidei ze yispatel chalil bein b'dei sakneses mutzorch gadol. Unless the situation is such where the construction project will come to an end and there will be no shul, so then you got to look at the big picture. It's going to be mutter in that case. Oz davka b'chay gavna yishlusmuch lahati. That, that situation where there's no alternative, then it's mitzvah because of Mishnah Berurah. The davka b'chahay gavno yesh lahat levad sheyehei mefursam lakol shu b'kablonis. Make sure everyone knows that you're not telling the goy to melacha. He's doing it for his own benefit. It's b'kablonis. V'ayin mizeh b'shut avnei nezer v'sham b'shut minchas elazar b'din livnos beis hatzvila hanitzrach l'nashim. Are you allowed a mikvah to be constructed on Shabbos? L'tvilas mitzvah kasa b'shut v'chayim shem yesh chashash sheyispat. In other words, basically a shtar mechira. Ideally, when it comes to a mikvah, you should not allow a goy to build a mikvah on Shabbos. It's a davar shebekedusha. It's not proper. But if you have no choice, if there's a concern that the structure will come to an end, or the only contract will be willing to malach will be a contract will do it on Shabbos, then you can do it b'shas atchak. And of course, ideally, there should be a shtar mechira. Here he elaborates: shtar mechira is that the shtar mechira is his property, and he should build it. Why would a goy build a mikvah? You know, it's very, very strange. A goy wouldn't build a mikvah, but if somehow if it's owned by the developer, he build a mikvah, but it's done by a non-Jew, then it's mutter. Ha'akum noitel chelik. Now we talk about a sharecropper. A sharecropper is mutter because a sharecropper is always working for himself. He's taking an actual portion of the property. Ayin b'shut chasam soifer v'shut shut shin vav nem. What does that stand for? You know what that is? I don't know. The im also shutfis. Shim also shutfis imakum bechanus chodemish soch lasas idei arkos. If you make a shutfis, you have to through the courts lefarsim hadavar k'mashakosav abeis Yosef. It has to be. Everyone has to know. The key is if you have a shutfis, everyone must know that this store or this location is under the partnership of a non-Jew, and that's why, and then it will take away the problem. It must be the piercing. Everyone must know, so no one suspects you of telling the guy to Moloch on Shabbos. If you can't do it through a court, then do it be mefarse made another way. Should take one seventh of the profit. He has to take at least 1/7, and 7 refers to the weekday. The goy should receive all the profits that come in on Shabbos. So that means he owns all the, everything that happens on Shabbos goes to the non-Jew. The very big problem is a lot of the OU is very involved in these type of situations. The problem is kashrus, because when you have stores where like Dunkin' Donuts here in Brooklyn, most of them, not all of them, are all open on Shabbos, and they're all kosher. So how could it be? What? Not all. Some of them, and some of them are under different hashkacha. What? One Avenue M. That one's good, right? M is good.
The same owners as I and us.
An Avenue U. What about one Avenue U? Is also good, I think. On Avenue U. But what about the one Avenue U? There's one Avenue U. I used to go there.
Yeah, that was the first.
There's one on Coney Island and
18th.
Yeah. That's that one kosher?
Yeah.
Alright, so they have different. Some of them have different hashkacha. Some of them an Avenue J. What's the sort of Avenue J? Back and forth. So what's it now? What's the current situation?
I don't know.
What?
Problem
though is you have these stores. These stores are open on Shabbos and they're owned by a guy. So how do you keep them kosher? So the kosher problem is more of a problem sometimes than the schar Shabbos. There are different issues. The ayin b'shut divrei chayim. The base chareshes, a factory. Chareshes, a factory. Sheroiv ha-katsoin. Shaykh li Yisraelim. Most of the... That's what's called. That's a stock. It's shaykh li Yisrael. Afilu imenal ha'esek v'shar poalim ha'roshim heim enem Yehudim. Kevan shakol ha'poalim ha'pshutim heima s'chire yoyim. Adai droiv heim oivdim v'yosur ayin sham. Since most Kevin shakol ha'poalim ha'pshutim heima s'chire yoyim. Adaita deroiv heim, or if they do their work adaita for the stockholders, and since the majority of the stockholders are Jewish, so memela it's osur. It doesn't make a difference if the actual factory workers are non-Jews, since who are they doing it for? People who work in the factory, they're working for the owners. Who are the owners? Who owns the company? Well, in America you have a corporation. The corporation is owned by the stockholders, and if most of the stockholders are Jewish, they're working on behalf of the stockholders, so he holds that you got a big problem. The stockholders who take in money, they take in profit on Shabbos, they're taking in profits from the business on Shabbos, are taking in money that involves Amir Liakum. It's as if they have told the workers to do Malacha on Shabbos. Since in this situation, the workers are Schire Yom, they're working by day, they're working for the day, so they're working on Shabbos, and they're working on behalf of the owners, and the owners are Jewish, you have a serious problem of Schar Shabbos. And the solution has to be, there must be a shutfis between the Jewish stockholders and the non-Jewish stockholders, and the understanding is, all of the profits that come through Chil Shabbos, through Melacha Shabbos, will go to the non-Jewish stockholders, and all of the profits that come for the rest of the week will go to the Jews.
Is that true by stockholders, or is it true in a partnership?
Both. Even a partner, even stock, even there. How does it work? Yeah, I don't know.
Is it a separate entity in and of its own?
There are different types of corporations. There's limited liability.
Yeah. Also, if you have stock in it.
Chometz, they have to sell the chometz. So different opinions. Every Rav will tell you something different. You go and you sell. I went to sell my chometz to the Rav, so he told me he has to have stock. My father never did that. My father was very makel. You don't have to sell stocks. But other Rabbanim are makbid. You do have to sell stocks. So there are difference of opinion in halacha. It's very helpful because there never exists such a concept in the Torah and Chazal as a corporation. Corporation where you're not responsible. You just take the profits, and if the company goes sour, you can declare bankruptcy, and it doesn't affect your personal assets. That concept of what?
Right.
In halacha? What?
Your value
is the stock. But as far as personal liability.
Liability,
right, responsibility. These are new things that did not exist until recent times. So this is something which the Rabbanim of modern recent times have to deal. How does halacha treat different types of corporations? And all different types. It gets more and more complicated. There are so many different variations, and in each of the different types there are different bylaws and
corporation in the United States. The percentage of Jews is like
1%. Well, it depends. Well, you're alive. Every day there are companies which go public. Why? Every day there's a new company that you hear IPO, they issue stock. So who are the stock owners? You'll be surprised. They're startups. Every day, I know someone that's involved in a startup. So it's fascinating. He tells me all the stories of what's going on, and they have to raise money. He went to the Skver Rebbe. They ask him advice. How much money he should raise? Should he raise $1.5 million or should he raise $10 million? And the Skler Rebbe told him, only raise $1.5 million. I said, How does he know? He says, he has a munas chachamim. If this is what he told him to do, and that's what he's going to do. Fascinating. Okay.
By the way, didn't you say like Dunkin' Donuts, there are a lot of stores that are open on Shabbos that have
a job? Yeah.
So a lot of these places that I know for a fact, they take somebody local who just marches into the store on Shabbos morning, not to light the stove, obviously.
But you want to make sure the kelim, that
things are going
in order.
As far as the Dunkin' Donuts, most all the places, I don't know, all of them, the ones that are under Hashgacha, none of those stores do their own baking. They deliver the finished product. Where the finished product is, there is a mashgiach that watches when the merchandise comes in, and then when it gets delivered, of course he doesn't follow the trucks through the street, but those are sealed boxes of all the donuts that go into the store, and they put them on the racks, and they make it seem like it comes out of the kitchen to go on the shelf. But it was baked in one area, in whichever store the designated is, there's a mashgiach that comes in on the Shabbos.
On Shabbos
morning.
Also?
On Shabbos
right.
Morning, marches into the store. To
on
see
Shabbos.
What happened
right.
In the morning. He's there for a short time.
Right. If you read the OU, they put out magazines, they describe Mashiach. Many Mashiach, they have to stay over Yom Tov, Rosh Hashanah. They told the mysterious nefesh of Mashiach over Rosh Hashanah. They're all alone on Rosh Hashanah in some factory in China. During watching because there has to be for these facilities mashgiach to me. Tamidi, and the Mashgiach Tamidi needs to be even there on Shabbos and Yom Tov, and it's a serious
business. The Dunkin' Donuts are all owned by Goyim.
So isn't it a franchise? Each one is different. Each one is owned privately.
Well, there are a few that are owned by one person.
By one person. But then the where it's baked, it's very complicated.
Carvel
was owned by a franchise.
Yeah, and then what is now? Here's the Carvel.
But what happened was the feds put in a law.
Yeah.
You can't make a monopoly on all your franchises to buy the
from one place.
Milk from you.
Uh-huh.
So once they were able to get cheaper somewhere else, they lost their hashgacha.
And what about Baskins and Robbins? That's also complicated. Yeah.
I think that's the factory to have hashgacha
and Baskins.
Baskins and
Robbins,
it's only specific items.
Specific items.
But they use the scoopers.
In the store that have hashgacha, everything in the store
is kosher.
Because it used to be fine. I know in New Haven, you had the Dunkin' Donuts ham sandwiches, but all the coffees and all the donuts, which came from somewhere else, were kosher. But then the local rabbanim asked them, "Do us a favor. We want you to have separate knives for when you don't deal with someone who wants to cut a donut or whatever." And they didn't want to have separate knives, so they took away the hashgacha.
And it's all plastic.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't know. I'm not no familiar. Okay, let's stop here. I want to do abdomens. I want to.